Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot that phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest. This is a very special Tuesday talk show, and it's a tradition here on KAJO Radio. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how far back it goes. It may go back to 1957. I won't tell you how long I've been doing it, but not since then. At any rate, on the very last talk show of the year, we invite our friends from Alcoholics Anonymous in to share some stories and to perhaps provide some guidance to anybody might be looking for help out here. And it seems to be a particularly appropriate today, the last day of the year, New Year's, getting ready for New Year's Eve. So once again, please drive carefully out there tonight. And as we welcome to the microphones of KAJO, our friends from Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll just let them introduce themselves, and I'll start here at my left. Go ahead.
My name's Larry.
Okay, Larry and?
My name is Allison.
Allison?
Yep, and I'm Alvin.
And Alvin. And way back in the corner is Stan. So, well, we have four people here. And I think the first thing I think we want to get out is there are some meetings going on that will start this afternoon. If you're looking for some guidance or just a little support or whatever, at the Hilo Club at 668 Lincoln Road, right here in Grants Pass. They start at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And they'll be going on, I guess, meetings every hour, speaker at midnight. Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, good. And they'll start tomorrow, too, at 11.
Yes.
So that's what's going on here locally. All right. What if I'm not a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I feel like I might need some help or suspect I might need some help, what is the first step I need to do? And I know it's a 12-step program, and I doubt that we get through all 12 steps, but where's the beginning? Anybody want to jump in and just tell me, what should I do? And boy, everybody's pointing at ladies first here today. You know, step right into that microphone there, dear.
Well, you know, for me, I just got to a point where I just felt sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know? And I didn't know where to turn. I called my doctor, and she suggested that I go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was terrified to go. Admitting to somebody that I didn't know that I was suffering was just overwhelming. It was just terrible. And I did go. I cried a lot. but the wonderful thing was getting that courage to walk through that door and being met by people who accepted me without judgment. And they let me know that they knew how I felt, that they had felt exactly the way that I was feeling. I think it was about my lowest moment in my life. And I was given hope. Actually, women came up to me and told me their stories. They told me how they had felt. They told me that getting the courage to walk into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous and being honest, just really being honest, you know, saying for the first time, I can't stop drinking. And it's destroying my life. It's destroying my relationships with my children, with my husband. And they understood. They totally understood.
Alice, let me follow up on that here, because your words were sick and tired, and the first place you went was to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of the drinking problem at that time? Was your doctor aware of the problem at that particular situation, and that's why the recommendation came the way it did? That just seemed to be a little strange juxtaposition to me. You went to a doctor first.
Right, because I really didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. My idea of AA was that it was a bunch of men in trench coats sitting in a church basement, and many meetings are in church basements, but men in old men, really, in trench coats, you know, lamenting the fact that they couldn't drink anymore. And I didn't think that I would relate or that they would relate to me. I thought I was different. And that's why I went to my doctor.
Were you different?
It turned out I wasn't, but, you know, I thought I was. And I knew that alcohol was having a very negative, harmful effect in my life. I knew that for years before I actually admitted that I needed help. I would try to stop on my own, and I could be successful for a day or two. And that would give me the thought that, oh, well, you know, I don't really have that much of a problem, you know, and then I'd start up again. And, you know, and then life would get really difficult. And, you know, so I was just sort of in this up and down pattern for a number of years. I had a lot of feelings of shame and guilt. I was married to someone who was successful in his career. At that time, when I hit my bottom, I was a housewife. Once I stopped working and became an at-home mom, that's when my drinking really took off, you know. And I hit it a lot because I knew that it was a shameful thing for me. That's how it felt, very shameful.
All right. Thank you, Allison. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Larry, have you ever been in a trench coat sitting in the back of a church? Or
I have not.
You have not? Okay. Go ahead.
The way that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous was to save a job. I was a blackout drinker. I had been since the beginning, since I started drinking at 14. And I never knew, you know, how long it would be or when it would happen. It could be the first drink. It could be the 12th drink. I just never knew. But I lost a job that I thought was my dream job, because I had gone into a blackout on a Friday night and came to the following Wednesday in a motel room. And when I realized what day it was, I thought I should probably call my boss. And it turns out I hadn't called in or anything. I just disappeared. And so I did the only thing I knew to do at that point, and that was beg for my job back. And they said that they'd be willing to talk to me because I had told them that I had a problem with alcohol. I was going through a divorce really did what I could to make it sound as bad as I could. And when I went in to see this human resources person, she made it really clear that if I would be willing to go to treatment, that I could have my job back. And I thought, well, that seems reasonable. And I remember at the time thinking that I could probably get them to put that off for a while and maybe even forget about it. Turns out she was a lot smarter than I was, and she picked up the phone and she dialed and she handed me the receiver.
No backing down there.
Now or go.
Okay. Okay. Was the treatment AA?
No, it wasn't, but it introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous. That was my first introduction to it. Had no idea what it was up until that point. But what I found when I went to it the first time and each time after that was that I wanted what they had. They were coming in and they were bringing meetings in to us, and they were happy. They seemed to be living really good lives. They seemed to be stable. I wanted what they had. And so that was my introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Let me just ask a question about that.
Sure.
That initial treatment. Mm-hmm. Was it a 12-step program similar to Alcoholics Anonymous, and then they brought in AA?
It was based on 12-step principles. And their primary focus at that time, this was back in the mid-80s, was to introduce us to Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous in the community so that we could make a choice on the direction that we wanted to go.
So you go through the program, graduate to AA.
Exactly.
I'm being a little facetious, but...
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Yeah, it was a pretty expensive introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Pretty expensive, so it had to be paid for is what
yes,
I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
You keep your job?
I did.
Okay.
Until I started drinking again.
Okay, we'll come back and talk about relapse then.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Alvin, your turn. Step up to the microphone, my friend. Tell me about Alvin.
Yeah, well, you know, when I started out, I had no idea what Alcoholics Anonymous was. And actually, I didn't even have any idea that anybody was sober. I came in as a pretty young man, and everybody I knew, everybody I hung out with drank. And what happened was one of my mentors, partying mentors in life, was an older gentleman that I was fortunate enough to be able to hang out with as a young man that used to buy my liquor and everything for me when I was too young to drink. And all of a sudden, this gentleman stopped hanging out with us. And we couldn't figure out why. I didn't know why until one day I heard that he just wasn't drinking anymore. And I thought, well, that really stinks for him. You know, his party's over, but I'm still young and I'm going at it, you know, hot and heavy. And until, you know, one day, you know, somewhat of a disaster happened for me where I was out on a rafting trip. And while I was on the rafting trip, I ended up capsizing the raft and ended up at the bottom of the river under the canoe, actually. It was a canoeing trip. And I just had a moment of clarity, like, wow, something's got to change. You know, something's got to change. And I got up and I decided I'm going to call this guy and figure out what he's doing, why he's not drinking anymore. And when I called him up, he was like, man, I've been just waiting for your call. You know, it's I'm so happy that you called. And he said, you know, have you drank today? And I was like, yes. And he's all, well, don't drink tomorrow. And I'm going to come pick you up and take you to a meeting. And that's where it started, was, you know, just through a friend's change of life himself, giving me an opportunity to understand that I had somebody to call. And I had no idea where he was taking me to or anything like that. I was completely clueless. And then I ended up in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was like, you know, I was scared driving there. You know, I was driving there. I was like, gosh, I think my life's over. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm hanging out, and he picked me up. He didn't pick me up alone. He picked me up with another friend, that was in the program, and as we were driving to the meeting, I pretty quickly determined that, you know, his sober friend that he picked me up with wasn't much different than me. He just wasn't drinking. So his attitude, his humor, his laughter, everything was like, well, I can relate to this guy. And then I ended up in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I saw a lot of caring, compassionate people there, and thought, wow, you know, this might be something that could work. You know, I might be able, my life might not be over after all, you know? And that's just kind of how it started. That's just the way that it started for me in the first time. I'm like Larry, you know, I ended up going out after like 10 months of that. I didn't work any of the program. I was just mostly living on the opportunity of, you know, they call it sobriety by osmosis, just hanging out with people, not doing any of the work related to it. And, you know, 10 months later, I went out. And then a year and a half later after that, I came back for good, or at least for this period of time. That was June 18th, 1990. So I started my June 18th, 1990. I was 26 years old. And I'm happy and sober and glad to be here.
Still since 1990?
Yes, yes.
Okay. How many years sober now? That's high math for me.
Yeah, that's like 34 years. Yes.
Okay, 34 years. Allison, how many years?
22.
Okay. Larry?
36.
All right. Stan, how many years? Yellow?
21.
21. Congratulations, each one of you. I want to go back to you. Larry?
Alvin.
Alvin.
Yes.
Okay. I knew there was going to be a test. You mentioned that you started very, very young, mm-hmm. With the other gentleman buying you the liquor. At what age?
Oh, gosh. 11 years old.
11 years old.
Yes.
Okay. And this fellow was buying the booze for you at 11?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, there were a lot of people buying booze for us. Well, at that age. And actually, I was a hairy young man. So by the time I was 15, I was going into stores and buying my own.
I see. Okay. All right. And the canoeing accident happened at what age?
That happened roughly 20. I was probably 23.
23?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's when you called the other gentleman and Then you fell off.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the falling off was I basically I was completely foggy. I was sober for like 10 months. I was completely foggy. I didn't really get anything other than I really like these people, and I'm feeling connected to them. But you know, other priorities started to take place in my life, where, you know, I was getting sober. I was starting to accumulate stuff, you know, cars, houses, relationships, and I just started thinking that I had this, and that the AA thing was, you know, getting in the way of my life. So I started, putting that aside and focusing on all the other life stuff. And eventually, it wasn't a priority anymore, and I ended up drunk.
Okay. All right. We're going to continue this, and it's been fascinating so far. Thank you all very much. We're going to continue, but I've got to pay some bills first. Last talk show of the year, and we have our friends from Alcoholics Anonymous in, and I want to once again provide some extra information here. I want to get this out a lot today because there are meetings starting this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Hilo Club at 668 Lincoln Road, and they'll go every hour with a speaker at midnight in particular. They'll start at 11 tomorrow morning, once again, with meetings every hour. So if you're looking for some help or some I think these guys found some friends and some people that they liked in the situation. So there, and I'm going to pass along some phone numbers here. So jot them down. The central office here in Grants Pass is 541-474-0782. That's available 24/7. 24/7, 541-474-0782. In Medford, once again, the helpline, 24/7 availability at 541-732-1850. I've got more phone numbers here. Central office. Okay. All right. I've got all of those. All right. And for Al-Anon and Alateen, and these are for members of the families of alcoholics. Am I correct there? That's right. That's 1-866-504-6974 for Al-Anon or Alateen. So whichever category you fit into, and we can probably get into that. I want to run back to Larry once again, because Larry, and I really liked Alvin's phrase when he was sober by osmosis, but not really following the program. And I suspect you were probably in about that same situation when you left the program and then came back to it. Can you outline that story for us?
Yeah, when I got done with treatment, it was out of town that I had attended treatment, and I went back home. My company had set me up with an apartment, and I went to a meeting because they had advised, first night you get back, go to a meeting, so I did, and it was different from the meetings I had been attending, and I decided that they didn't pay enough attention to me, so I wasn't going to go there anymore. And within 2 months, I was drinking, and I lost that job that I had gone to treatment to save. I ended up living in my car, basically, sleeping on the couch at my sister's house from time to time. And that was a pattern for me over the years. I'd do okay for a while, and then I'd lose everything. And this case was no different. I was given an opportunity to move down to Mount Shasta and try AA down there because my stepfather had gone. And so I took it. And when I got there, I went to a meeting right away, and I'll never forget the meeting. I can name exactly where it was at, who the people were there, and they made a beautiful impression on me. And I got involved right away. And I was going to a meeting every day, and I really liked what they had, and I wanted what they had, but I wasn't quite ready. I continued to attend meetings on a daily basis, but after a couple months, I started flirting with going to bars and drinking Coke to play pool, and didn't take long, and I was drinking again. But I was still going to meetings, and I didn't think they'd understand you know, so I just didn't say anything about the fact that I was drinking.
Yeah, nobody else had ever done that before.
Oh, I'm sure. So that went on for a couple of years. My sobriety date is April 24th, 1988, and I'd gotten a DUI about 2 months before, and that got my attention.
They usually, well, I would say they usually do, but not always. That's the shame of it all, but that's another story, and we're talking about some positive stories here today. It is the final talk show of the year, and we have our guest from Alcoholics Anonymous in studio right now. We'll ask for your phone calls, or we'll allow your phone calls, certainly after the top of the hour news. The number to call if you want to jot it down is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment and have a conversation with our guest if need be. In the meantime, though, we do want to remind you once again, I'm not sure that we can't get this out enough, that their meeting starting this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Hilo Club at 668 Lincoln Road. And we'll have meetings every hour with the speaker at midnight. They'll start at 11 a.m. tomorrow, once again, and go throughout the day, as I understand it. Once again, the phone number here locally, 541-474-0782. That's 24/7. That's here in Grants Pass in Medford. It's 541-732-1850. You're listening to KAJO AM 1270. This is the Tuesday talk show on KAJO Radio. Please stay tuned. We've got lots more to come here right after the top of the hour. In the meantime, stay tuned for news from the SRN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick from Gates Furniture and Mattress, and you're...
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today from Alcoholics Anonymous, Allison, Larry, Alvin, and Stan, all in studio today. We want to thank you all very much. I'm going to ask... I think my first question is probably going to be two. Yeah, I'm just going to throw that out there, and that what is when is the realization that you want to go to at AA meeting? What inspired you to do so, and what kind of courage does it take to walk through the door the first time? Is it scary? Is it welcoming? What is it? So, ladies first, Allison, what do you think?
Well, for me. Well, what I didn't say earlier is I went to treatment, too, because AA had been suggested to me several times. And as I said, I had this preconceived notion that AA was, you know, a lot of men in trench coats.
Men, right? In trench coats in the bottom of a basement.
Exactly.
In the bottom of a
exactly.
Church, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I did go to treatment, and like Larry said, you know, the treatment center I went to was 12-step. Based, and they brought AA meetings into us and took us out to AA meetings, so I had some familiarity with the structure of it, you know. I just was terrified to go on my own, which is why I went to a treatment center. Once I got home from the treatment center, I just, you know, after spending 28 days in a facility, I knew what to do. I called our local central office, and they told me where local meetings were, you know, and I was very nervous about going, but I felt armed, you know, because I had gone to that treatment center. And then, you know, when I went in, it was in a basement of a church, but the amazing thing was...
No trench coats?
No, and the amazing thing was there were people there that I already knew. I was afraid of going in and seeing people that I knew, but it turned out they were parents of some of my children's friends. I had no idea that there were people just like me in Alcoholics Anonymous. It does take, I mean, I see people come into AA without the benefit of a treatment center, and I'm in awe, you know, that they have that level of courage. It really does take a lot of courage to ask for help. For me, I was so broken, really, and I hadn't felt healthy. I was tired all the time. And, you know, I just, I just felt so bad about my life, and I was so tired of feeling that way. I just wanted relief. I wanted that relief more than anything. And I knew that if I just could stop drinking, I might find that relief. And I did.
Yeah, good. We're glad you did. I'm going to throw those phone numbers out because you alluded to making some phone calls. Once again, in Grants Pass, it's 541-474-0782, answer 24/7. In Medford, it's 541-732-1850. Once again, it's answer 24/7. And I also understand that there's a website. How do I reach the website, or do I just Google AA?
You can Google AA. The Grants Pass website is AA. It's grantspassaa.org, I believe.
Com.
AAGrantsPass.org?
No.
Dot com.
GrantsPassAA.com.
Oh, GrantsPassAA.com. GrantsPassAA.com. Okay. Keep me straight here. Keep me... hold me to a higher level than I'm capable of reaching by myself.
Well, it is a great resource for being able to get all the information that you might want as far as finding local meetings and other things about AA that might be of value and of interest to you.
Okay. Allison, we threw you under the bus here early. I'm going to throw Larry back under the bus. That first step into an AA meeting, what did you experience, one, going through that door and once you got inside that door?
The first time I went in, when I first got out of treatment, I was feeling pretty cocky about it, and like I knew what I needed to do and what they should do and all that, and that didn't work out real well. When I returned to Alcoholics Anonymous down in Mount Shasta, I was nervous. I was afraid. Wasn't really sure what I was going to have to do or what they were going to expect of me, and always worried about what people were going to think and so on. And they were very welcoming and loving, and I'm grateful for that. But I was incapable of doing what needed to be done, and that was just to show up and be honest. And I wasn't completely ready to give it up. So once I did get to the point where I couldn't go on, I was faced with the idea of I don't know how I can live life with drinking, and I don't know how I can live life without drinking. And that's a terrible place to be. And so I went back to AA, and I remember being terrified to step over the threshold to go back into this meeting where these people knew me, but they also had found out I'd been drinking.
So was the fear justified?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. When I went back in, what I got was nothing but love and welcoming, words of encouragement. We're so glad to see you. We're so happy you're alive, things like that. And that night was my surrender. That was the point at which I just gave up completely. Asked one of the men in the meeting for help to sponsor me and to show me how to live the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he accepted, and we got started right away.
How important is that sponsorship?
Essential, as far as I'm concerned. I tried doing it without sponsorship before, in that couple of years where I was going to meetings and drinking. There's a saying that a friend of mine up in Washington says, and that's that if you sponsor yourself, you're sponsored by an idiot. And that was me. I was sponsoring myself, and I could convince myself of anything, right? But if I get somebody that's a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous that has worked all the steps in his life to guide me through that process, my chances are a lot better. And basically what happens is that I get called on my BS when needed and where needed, and that I'm appreciative.
All right. Alan, I'm going to go back to you. I love that phrase, sober by osmosis. I think it was yours. But you, after that osmosis period, you went back. And what was that first step again, going through that door and making that final decision to say, I'm not quite right where I need to be yet?
It was a bit of a process, actually, but I mentioned that, you know, growing up, I had a party mentor, and he got sober, and I followed him, you know, initially into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then I went out, and I stayed out for, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years, and what ended up happening was he called me up and said, hey, you know, I'd like to meet with you for a dinner, and I have something to talk with you about. And essentially what he was doing is one of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which was step 9 and an amends step, righting the wrongs that we've done to other people. And while he was sitting there having dinner, he acknowledged, you know, giving me alcohol when I was 11 years old probably wasn't his, you know, the highlight of his life.
Not his finest hour.
Not his finest hour for sure. And so we had that conversation, and then he asked me how I was doing, knowing, you know, obviously I had a little bit of sobriety, and then I went out. And I told him, you know, just looked him straight in the eye. I said, man, I think I just jumped the gun on this AA thing. I mean, I'm, you know, glad you're sober, but I really, you know, it turns out I don't think I'm an alcoholic. And as I was leaving that dinner meeting and I was going to a car. So I mentioned also that initially, you know, when I first got sober, I started accumulating stuff, houses, relationships, cars. As I left dinner with my friend, I was walking to a car that I didn't own, that I'd been borrowing for like 2 months. I was living in a closet, and I didn't have insurance. And I went to go put my key into this car, and I realized, gosh, I kind of lied to this guy. Life isn't all better, you know? And I didn't see the decline happen. Like, it was, they talk about it being cunning, baffling, and powerful alcohol, that is. And I didn't see that I went from owning stuff to losing everything again. And I realized, wow, my life's actually on a decline. So that didn't change things for me immediately, but it started the process that I had to started looking at my life on a daily basis, and realizing my trajectory is going down. It's not going up. This is not where I want to be, you know, someday. So so what I ended up doing is, you know, June 18th, 1990, I made a decision that I need that trajectory to go the other way. And then I got back in, I got serious. And coincidentally, that gentleman who was my party mentor is now my AA mentor and my sponsor. So
full circle.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask Stan a question here. And Stan, you can yell and we'll hear it, or you can step up here a little bit. But I've got 2 out of 3 people up here who have, once they've gone into AA once, fell back into drinking again. Can you share with me, is that the same situation with you? Did that happen? Did you fall off the wagon once and then come back?
Well, yeah. My introduction to AA was through one of the lawyers I had for one of several drunk driving tickets in Colorado.
Okay.
I accumulated 5, which I thought was a record, and I've talked to some people out here.
So you're a collector.
Yes, I am a collector. The lawyers recommended I go to as many AA meetings as I could before sentencing on my DUI tickets, and that would impress the judge. So I did. And it did. I got off with a slap on the hand for several of them because of showing them that I went to all these AA meetings. And that's all I was there for, is to impress a judge, get one of my ex-wives off my back, and get me back in a little better standing with the local law enforcement agencies. It wasn't until after my last DUI that I was ready to go out into eastern Colorado and shoot myself in the head. My daughter talked me out of it. She still won't tell me what she said. She says, if I have to do it again, I may not. And it made me I was desperate enough. I realized it's either kill myself that way, kill myself with alcohol, or go to AA. So I got serious about it. Went to, oh God, I went to 130 meetings in the first 90 days. They recommend 90 meetings in 90 days. But, and of course, by that time, I had no driver's license. So my daughter was taking me to meetings. And I asked one of the fellows at this meeting, these were big meetings, there were 100 and some odd people in Denver, what's this deal with the sponsor? He said, I'll be your sponsor. I'm going, okay. It took him a while to get through my head that, well, I went in with the attitude, my life is going to be over, there'll be no fun in my life because alcohol is not involved anymore. He finally, after reiterating, it's one day at a time. That's all you have to worry about is today. Don't project in the future how bad off you're going to be because you're not on alcohol. And he finally got that through my head. The first step, as it's written in the book, is we admitted we were alcoholic and that our lives had become unmanageable. And I finally took that serious, and that's the first time that I think I'd ever been honest with myself. Once we got into it, and as I said, with the threat of my own suicide, I was pretty inspired to keep going and keep into the program. The meetings were enormous. The meetings I'm in now are smaller meetings, which is gives everyone a chance to talk, because I realized that these people need to hear what I had to say. Then I found out that there is a certain amount of humility involved in AA, and that I needed a whole bunch of it. And it's worked. My program isn't perfect, but whatever I'm doing has kept me sober so far.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This is going so... I am so intrigued by these great stories that these people are sharing with us, but I do have to take a break, and we'll be right back. Come. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show. We're in the final segment, ladies and gentlemen, and there's so much important information to pass out there. I'm going to run down real quickly here what's happening. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, there will be a New Year's marathon meetings beginning at the Hilo Club here in Grants Pass at 668 Lincoln Road. Starts at 2 this afternoon. Meetings every hour. Speaker at midnight. They'll start again tomorrow morning at 11. Once again, at 668 Lincoln Road. If you have questions, the number here in Grants Pass is 541-474-0782. That's 24/7. Also 24/7 in Medford, 541-732-1850. And in Grants Pass, the website is, let's see if I can get this right, it's grantspassaa.org.
.com.
Okay. I blew the last part. That's all right. But we've got four people here that have really shared some great stories with us. And from what I'm hearing, maybe the very first step is step one in the 12-step program. We won't go through all 12 steps, but step one is that the hardest step? Is it the hardest to accept, or is it the hardest to begin? Anybody jump in there? We've already started ladies first, so once again, we'll throw you under the bus here.
I think it is the hardest. Admitting to yourself that you have a problem, excuse me, is one thing. Admitting it to somebody else is, sorry, you can hear my tightness in my voice. It is a hard step. I mean, that's why my voice is doing this. Admitting you're powerless over alcohol, you know, that alcohol, you know, I thought my life was manageable. You know, I'm what's called a high bottom drunk, right? You know, and that I never got a DUI or go to jail or any of those things. And so, you know, I just couldn't believe that I'm an alcoholic, right? And, but I knew that I was drinking way too much and I could not stop. I could not stop. I thought about it 24/7. I thought about drinking. If I wasn't actually actively drinking, it just consumed my thoughts. And I knew that. And so, you know, saying that out loud to somebody else, was really admitting that I wasn't the perfect person that I aspired to be, right? And so taking that first step and admitting my powerlessness to myself, to someone else, and ultimately to a group of people, a group of drunks, you know, it was doing that and recognizing that I could not do this by myself. I needed help. And people came to me in those meetings and said, we want you to succeed. We want to help you.
Okay. I'm really coming down to the wire here in terms of available time left. So I'm just going to real quickly ask each one of you for a closing thought here. And so we'll go with you, Larry. Larry, what do people need to take away from today's program, and what do you recommend?
Basically that you don't have to lose everything. Alcoholics Anonymous is there for anybody, no matter what level you're at in this. There's people that are physically sick, seriously addicted, have the obsession that defines alcoholism, that still have their jobs, still have their bank account and their wife and everything. Basically, the help is there for them as much as for the person that has lost all. And I also just want to say that when talking about the first step, it is the most important because it's the foundational step. Everything is built from that. And so that's why I talked surrender before. I have to begin somewhere, and I can't until I give up.
All right. Larry, I've got to go over here to Alvin. Okay. Time is just flying by here. Alvin, what do we need to take away from today's program?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, with today being New Year's Eve, that you don't have to wait to get pulled over tonight before you realize that alcohol is a problem in your life.
Because they're out there looking for you tonight.
They are looking for it. And, you know, it's never too late as long as you're alive to get sober. But I'll tell you what, it would be a lot nicer to get sober before a lot more trouble comes my way. So
all right.
There's options.
All right. Thank you all very much. And Stan, are you in the background? Thank you very much. Time is almost gone here, and I want to hit all of these numbers once again. New Year's Marathon meetings start for AA at the Hilo Club this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Meetings every hour, speaker at midnight. They'll start at 11 tomorrow and do that same exact thing. If you want to talk to someone specifically, the number here in Grants Pass answered 24/7 is 541-474-0782. In Medford, it's 541-732-1850. And the website, which is available, is grantspassaa.com. I finally get that right. Gentlemen,
yes.
Thank you all very much, and Happy New Year to you all. Have a safe and sane one, ladies and gentlemen.